This morning, we have 8 minutes to celebrate Christian education, and in particular, celebrate what takes place during the quote-unquote Sunday school hour. Don't get me wrong, Christian education is much more than just the Sunday school hour, but I want to think about that hour today. A lot of churches have decided to do away with the Sunday school hour. They have small groups, which are excellent, but have done away with formal instruction on Sunday mornings. And I think that it is one of the healthy habits of the church that we ought to embrace. It's a healthy habit for all of us, not just for the children, but also for adults. There is something special about that Sunday school hour, because it's not about discussion, a time to bounce our opinions about God off of one another, but it's about dissemination. It's about hearing the truth, reflecting upon it, and acting upon it. That's the sort of behavior that James is commending in the passage before us this morning. The passage that Josh read for us has two simple points. And I want to connect this to Sunday school or Christian education, the formal classes of Christian education. Oftentimes when we hear James 1:19, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, we think, and rightfully so, that it's about our interpersonal relationships. When we are in conversation with one another, we ought to listen first, we ought to speak second, we ought to be angry third. But in the context of it, it talks about God's word. It talks about God's law. It talks about the scriptures. And I think that what James is saying here is much more than just our personal relationship. It also deals with our relationship with God. And when God speaks with us, how should we respond? When God has something to say, do we listen? Or do we speak? And when we disagree, do we become angry? We live in a society that listening has become a dying art. We rarely listen to others. We either ignore what they're saying or formulate our own thoughts while they are speaking. And Sunday school is a place and a time for listening. Sunday school is a time for listening. That's our first point. Verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. We should be quick to listen. We should first use our ears. We should be slow to speak. We are secondarily to use our lips or share our thoughts. And thirdly, we are to be slow to become angry. Anger is a strong emotion of annoyance, displeasure, or hostility. We live in a world where we listen last. We speak, but we become angry, oftentimes first. I was watching the news the other day, and there was a road rage incident. I don't know if you caught it on the news. A guy jumping up and down on a car, denting in the roof as these people watched in the middle of the intersection, blocking traffic. And it went on for 11 minutes, something like that. Just some crazy amount of time. I don't think they listened. I don't think they spoke. I think they just became angry. We need to avoid immediately voicing our hostility. Because when we immediately voice our hostility, James says, our anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Expressing our anger immediately is never the right choice. Expressing our anger could be effective, but doing that first without listening, without using our voice, that's dangerous. Now, James also tells us how we know we are listening. Listening is shown in our restraint. Listening is shown in what we refuse to let into our thoughts, which we restrain or hold back. Get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. There are things that we should not listen to. Just simply because listening is the first thing we ought to do doesn't mean that we ought to listen to everything. If something is filthy, don't listen to it. If something is part of the prevalence of evil, don't listen to it. We are literally to strip away those things, to take off, put off those things, get those things off and look at the heart of things. And what James is sort of saying here is that when we are in the midst of listening, we need to not listen to necessarily what's being said, but listen also to what is being said by what's being said. To go a level beneath, to strip away the filth, the blueness, to strip away the culturally evil that some people spew. And sometimes that's hard. If we have a neighbor that uses foul language, sometimes that's all we can hear. And we don't listen to what they're actually saying. We only listen to the words. And what James is saying here is we need to strip it away. And then listening shows that we are humble. What do we do once we hear it? Do we accept it as the word implanted in us? Do we have receptivity? Do we have responsibility? Because it is a seed implanted in us that requires nurture and water. Do we recognize what kind of fruit it's going to bear? Because it can save us if we are responsive. And in this world where we listen so infrequently, and when we do listen, we only listen because people are saying what we want said. The Sunday school hour, Christian education in the church, is a good remedy to this cultural malaise. Because Sunday school, more than just a affinity Bible study, a Bible study where we get around our friends and talk about the scriptures. Sunday school, especially curricularized Sunday school, has lessons from outside of us. Lessons that we need to hear. That God, through His Holy Spirit, has ordained for us to listen to. And so coming to Sunday school, it's not our agenda, but it's God's agenda. And we listen to what God has to say. Whether we're teaching or we're participating, we hear the scriptures, sometimes scriptures that we don't normally reflect upon. And we need to listen. There's a word that has been popular for any number of years that frustrates me. The word is anyway. The word has become shorthand for I really don't care what you just said. Let me continue to speak my mind. It typically comes with a hand or a swipe. Someone will say something, this is what I think. And someone will put their hand up and say, anyway, which means enough with you. And I think sometimes we have a cultural bent towards saying anyway to God. We begin to listen and then we come to a point where we disagree. And we say, well, God, anyway, I'll put my Bible down and I'm going to move on. And what I challenge you today, develop that healthy habit that is prevalent in Sunday school of listening, listening to God, listening to God's word, listening to what God has to say. Listening first, speaking, and slowing our hostility, our displeasure, our annoyance with what is said. We need a place where we can listen. So we go to quote-unquote Sunday school. But that's not all we need to do. There is a second part to this passage, beginning with verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Sunday school equips us for action. Sunday school is 45 minutes to an hour. And that's a lot of time to think, to reflect, to think about what we have heard. But it's not enough to merely listen. We need to not deceive ourselves, thinking that listening is enough. We need to have times when we're asked to do something. We need to recognize that God doesn't want us simply to hear Him. Have you ever been in a situation where there is someone you have asked to do something? Honey, could you take out the trash? Sweetheart, could you help me with the dishes? Darling, could you get this thing off this shelf? And they don't act in any way. They don't move. They don't respond. And you say, again, can you help me? And they say, oh, I heard you. How does that make you feel? It would be almost better had they never heard. And I wonder if there are times when God says that and when we say that to God. When God says, this is how I want you to act. This is what I want you to do. I want you to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that I have commanded you. And then God says, are you coming? And we say, oh, I heard you. I'll be there in a minute. I'll get to it when I'm done. James gives us an illustration of the connection between listening and doing. And there is, first, that we can hear and not do. That we have no reflection. It's a man looking in a mirror, seeing the face of his birth.
seeing his real self,
recognizing all the imperfections and blemishes and disfigurements, seeing all the good and all the bad. And he stands there and looks, and then when he walks away from the mirror, he immediately forgets what he saw. It completely negates the behavior. Why look in the mirror if you're not going to do anything about it? Yep, that's what I look like. Why bother? You wake up, you look, your hair's out of place, and you say, yep, my hair is out of place. Let's get going. And then you immediately forget that you didn't comb your hair, you didn't wash your face, you didn't do any of the things that you were supposed to do. There's no response, no change, no nothing. That's one response. The other is hearing and doing, where we have a proper reflection. He looks at the mirror of God's word. He sees the positive and the negatives of it. He walks away and he acts upon what has been revealed. He appreciates the warning. The man who looks, verse 25, looks intently into the perfect law. He recognizes the perfect standard that God has created and recognizes that he doesn't measure up. But he also looks and sees and appreciates the blessings that he has received. This is the perfect law that gives freedom. And he sees that freedom as well. And he recognizes that. He embraces the perfection. He embraces the freedom. He appropriates those warnings. He appreciates those blessings. And he makes a proper response and a change. And I think, because of that hour on Sunday mornings, that is a time when we are subject to a clock, where we are forced to stare at the perfect law and to reflect upon that perfect law and to challenge ourselves to do something about it. That's what the Sunday school hour is all about. Hearing God's word, reflecting upon God's word, and then doing something about God's word. There's a devotional, Experiencing God Day by Day, by Henry Blackaby. And on January 13th of that daily devotional, it says this: when God's word speaks to you, it is always for a purpose. God knows your heart and knows what you need to do to bring your life into conformity with Christ. If you have a problem with sinful talk, the word that comes to you will address the tongue. If you're struggling to forgive, God's word will confront you with his standard for forgiveness. If pride has a stronghold in your life, God's word will speak to you about humility. Whatever sin needs addressing, you will find you are confronted by God's word on the matter. It seems, and I can bear witness to this, that when I listen to God's word, he speaks to something that I am either currently dealing with or that I will need to deal with in the day ahead. When I truly listen, it's because God wants to get my attention for something either I am struggling with now, or something I will struggle with later in the day, or someone will come across and be struggling with it, and he wants to equip me. In that hour that we have together in the Sunday school, in Christian education on Sunday mornings, where our agenda is not what is accomplished, but God's agenda, where it gives us time to listen, where it gives us time to reflect, and gives us a place where we can formulate a plan to deal with it. I remember going to Sunday school as a child at the church down the street from where I grew up. I remember my third grade teacher. I don't remember any of the other teachers, but I remember my third grade teacher. She was an old woman named Miss Bucher. And she went to great pains to teach 10-year-olds the Word of God. And because of her, I can recite the 23rd and the 100th Psalm. Because of her, I can name the 12 disciples by name. Through her, I heard and listened to the Word of God. But it took me a long time to do anything with it. I was one who looked into the mirror and immediately forgot. Now, granted, I was 10. And then I was 12, and then I was 15, and then I was 20, and then I was 25. We mustn't let the same thing happen now in our lives or in the lives of our children. Our sermon in a sentence is this: as God's word is heard, we must do what he tells us is true. As God's word is heard, we must do what he tells us is true. It is through the persistent and pointed process of Christian education that it provides us with a place to hear what God has spoken. Not what we think or what the world accepts, but the word as God has spoken. Christian education gives us the opportunity to listen, then to reflect, and then to respond. It's something that we all develop, or we all should develop, as a habit if we want to be healthy as believers and as a church. And so it's unfortunate that today is the last day of our Sunday school hour. But there is good news. We will be having a multi-generational class all summer long, 9:30 every Sunday, where you can listen, where you can reflect, where you can respond. And as God's word is heard, we must do what he tells us is true. Shall we pray?